Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live once again this morning, November 16th, from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus in Edmond, Oklahoma. Today we're covering a booklet titled Conspiracy Against Fatherhood, written by Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Fleury. The very first part of this booklet, on page one, reads, "We hear a great deal about conspiracies today. Our people almost seem conspiracy obsessed." Keep in mind, this booklet was written in 1999. That is so much more true today than it was almost 20 years ago. You can see that in almost every news event that comes up. A lot has been made of CNN White House correspondent Jim Acosta losing his press pass recently. You can hear a lot more about that on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show here on KPCG, and you can get the archives of that at kpcg.fm. But why did he lose his press pass? Well, because he made physical contact with a White House aide who was trying to take the microphone away from him. The whole entire news media then tried to tell us that there was no contact at all. While it wasn't a full-on hard karate chop, he definitely placed his hand on that White House aide's arm to push her away from grabbing the microphone. Or it was an accident. Who knows? There was definitely physical contact there. Why is it that everyone is telling us not to believe our lying eyes when clearly in every video clip you look at, there was physical contact? I was really disturbed by that story and why it's been made such a gigantic news headline. If we can't even agree on what a simple video shows us, well, there's not a whole lot of hope for this society of blatant lies. A more alarming example than that, of course, is the Senate confirmation hearings of now Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. All kinds of horrible accusations were leveled against that man without one shred of evidence. And yet, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people in this country and around the world believed every bit of those allegations. What about truth? Who knows about truth? Who cares about truth anymore? Mr. Fleury continues here, "But the greatest and most damaging conspiracy is the one against fatherhood today." There are all kinds of stories in the news, like the two I just mentioned, that are disturbing, they are alarming, they definitely show that we live in a sick society, but none of them, as Mr. Fleury points out, are as terrifying and destructive as the conspiracy against fatherhood. There's all kinds of examples of people trying to dismantle the traditional family in this society. You can see that everywhere in the news. There is an open, outright attack on what feminists call the patriarchy, which basically is an organizational structure centered around male leaders. Why is there a patriarchy? Why is America founded on what they call a patriarchy? Could it be that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values and that maybe the Bible has something to say about the father being the head or the man being in charge? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So to put that in order, God's organizational government hierarchy starts with him at the top, then goes to Christ, then goes to the man, then goes to the woman. That means in every household, the rightful organizational structure should be the father in charge and the mother submissive to him. The husband in charge, the wife submissive, the father and mother working together as a team to raise the children the right way. That's suddenly a very controversial idea in this society. It's right there in the Bible, though. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. You can look back to the account in Genesis where God created Adam. Then he created Eve from one of Adam's ribs while Adam was asleep. He created Eve, as God says, to be a help to Adam. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with God setting certain roles for different members of his creation. God's in charge. He can tell us to be whatever he wants us to be. It's really that simple. And it does work. We know for a fact that having the father as the head of the household works. If you dismantle the father's role in a family, you completely undermine the effectiveness of the family. You destroy families, you destroy communities, you destroy nations simply by destroying the father, by removing the father from that extremely important role as the head. Mr. Fleury quotes from this article in Time magazine from 1999 titled, How Man Evolved. A pretty dogmatic title there. Apparently, this writer is completely convinced that man evolved, and he leaves no room for discussion or proof to the contrary. This writer is extremely insulting of anyone who would believe that God created human beings and the world around us. If anyone believes in the biblical account of creation, according to this writer, we're not living in the real world anymore. This writer is not the only one. It's not just to attack one person. There are plenty of people who would scoff at the very idea of the existence of God, of the existence of a creator instead of evolution. But when you think about evolution, there's plenty to scoff about there. Think about it. Apparently, nothing existed, and then all of a sudden, there was some sort of a particle that maybe exploded, and that created the entire universe we see around us. Not a single scientist could ever tell you where that first particle came from, yet it somehow was there in existence to explode and create the universe. Over the course of many billions of years, other particles slowly developed and built, and it took obviously billions of years because this is going to take a long time. And then eventually these particles even became living creatures, and they kept on growing. They went from amoebas to maybe the tiniest fish in the sea, to eventually feeling like they wanted to crawl up on land, so of course they had to develop limbs that would help them to crawl out of the water and onto the bank. And eventually, they developed all the different body parts they needed, and they became every animal and every species that we see around us in the world today. Of course, it took billions or trillions of years because obviously, that's a pretty big process to have the universe explode out of nothing and then to have the tiniest particles of matter become horses and cows and pigs and goats and every other animal in existence. And of course, human beings. We became human beings from apes, apparently. It's just a crazy idea. And you do have to have really strong faith in evolution to even believe it. Yet, a religious faith is what is mocked by the vast majority of scientists. evolution is an absurd idea, and there's no proof for it. You can't find one of those missing link fossils that would show that there was a transition from one creature into another over time. Every one of those fossils has been proven to be a fake whenever they are shown or whenever they are supposedly uncovered. There's no proof for it. So what do evolutionists resort to when they attack the biblical account of creation? Well, it's always intimidation and ridicule. They have no proof on their side. They have to make you feel ashamed that you would ever believe what the Bible says. It says here on page 3, this is Mr. Fleury writing, how shamefully they treat people just for believing in the Bible. Then it says here, and then this is Mr. Fleury quoting that writer, still he says, science and religion should be equal, mutually respecting partners. But if you believe the creation teaching of the Bible, according to this writer, you are, one, not in the real world, two, have narrowly partisan religious motivations, three, are perverse, and four, in a spiral inward toward restriction and ignorance. Mr. Fleury writes there, does that sound like he is a respecting partner? Does that sound like someone who wants science and religion to be in agreement? Why do people like this always think that science and religion are on opposite ends of the spectrum and that only one could be true? Isn't it possible that the laws of nature could actually perfectly match up with what the Bible states? As we've talked about in this Trumpet Bookshelf series before, really, the Bible is the foundation of all knowledge. And what we have to do is we have to understand that God exists. That's really the first point. And it's such a simple thing. We have to prove that first. That's why evolution is gaining so much traction today, so much mass acceptance, because people don't know if God exists. They haven't taken the time to prove that. Evolution is a satanic counterfeit. It's anti-God in every way. When science is founded upon evolution, well, science and religion cannot coexist. If science is founded on facts, on just honestly observing our surroundings, like it should be, then science matches up perfectly with what the Bible says. Remember what I've said in this lecture series before, or in this radio program, largely drawing on the late theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's booklet, Does God Exist? You either prove God exists, or you are a God unto yourself. If God doesn't exist, then we're in charge. We can decide the roles for the man and the woman in each household. We can decide how many genders there are. We can do whatever we want. That is why it is so important to prove whether God exists. That's a foundational question. And really, what evolution is doing most of all is attacking the institution of family, of the father. If God doesn't exist, then we can define family for ourselves. If God does exist, there are certainly rules that he expects us to follow with respect to family. There's a really great quote here from Mr. Armstrong on pages 4, 5, and 6 of the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet. You can find yourself a copy of this Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet at thetrumpet.com. There are nearly 100 books and booklets there, as well as a lot of reprint articles, a Bible correspondence course, a couple decades worth of helpful news magazines or Christian Living magazines. Just a wonderful resource for all of us. But you can find your copy of this booklet there. Here's what Mr. Armstrong writes in Missing Dimension in Sex, which Mr. Fleury is quoting from in this Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet. For many years now, I have observed that errors almost always come from a false basic premise, carelessly assumed as self-evident and taken for granted without question. Then, building on that false basic hypothesis, the basic premise for knowledge production in our time has been the evolutionary concept. It has been the eyeglasses through which all questions have been viewed. Yet it remains unproved, and by its very nature, it is a theory not subject to proof. It is a faith, and to question it is, to those who embrace this faith, academic heresy. Do we, then, dare question the theories so generally accepted by advanced scholarship? Is it heretical to question their assumed conclusions and ask for proof? Is it academic heresy to look at the other side of the coin? Suppose now we appropriate the academic freedom to carefully examine that which has been dismissed without examination. Again, that's Mr. Armstrong in The Missing Dimension in Sex, which is quoted by Mr. Fleury in the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet. What Mr. Armstrong is saying is, of course scientists can, quote-unquote, prove evolution when that's their entire purpose. They're not going into their study of evolution with an open mind. Their entire goal is to prove evolution true. That's why they're able to cherry-pick certain random bits of information that they think will back up their theory. And really, it's not even a theory because they don't have enough evidence behind it to call it that. It's mainly just a hypothesis. That would be like if we on the other side of it decided that God exists. No matter what the evidence says, God has to exist. Now, that is the right assumption, but it's extremely dishonest for us to go into a study of whether God exists with the outcome already determined in our minds. If we're already convinced that God exists, why even study into it at all? Why even look for any proof? If nothing's going to change our mind, no matter what the proof states, the whole entire study is pointless. We have to be a blank slate, so to speak, when we go into studies like that, and let the information that we find lead us to the right conclusion. Mr. Fleury gives a pretty strong condemnation in this booklet against anyone who arrogantly rejects God's existence. And he points out why the evolutionary concept is so destructive. Like I said, it does destroy God's organization of family. As he says here on page 7 of the booklet, even Jesus Christ taught the Genesis account of creation. And you can find that in Matthew 19, verses 3 and 4. Not only did Christ teach the Genesis account of creation, he was the very being who created the entire earth in that Genesis account. That's a recreation. That wasn't the original creation of earth. You have to understand the timeline of events, where really it was God and the Word together for all eternity. After a long time, possibly many millions of years, this was before time even existed, so it's hard to measure that. God and the Word created the perfect, holy, righteous angels. And then after that, they created the entire universe at one time, including the earth. Eventually, when the angels rebelled, you can find all of this in Mr. Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages, and it's there at thetrumpet.com. When a third of the angels rebelled under Lucifer, who became Satan, They destroyed the earth, and that is where we are in the Genesis account. At that point, the earth had been destroyed by the rebellious angels who became demons, and so God and the Word had to repair that. The Word, who later became Jesus Christ, actually carried out God the Father's commands. So God was in charge. He told the Word to repair the earth, and the Word did that exactly as God said. Later, the Word became Jesus Christ. So not only did the Word or Jesus Christ quote from the Genesis account of creation, he was there and he did everything that is in that account. There really is no denying the creation account. You can even look at all of the scientific factors as we did with the Does God Exist booklet, and there's no denying it. A true Christian is one who follows Christ. So if Christ believes in the creation account, if Christ was the one who did the creating, well, we should just simply believe that that creation account is true. If you look on page 9 of this Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet, you see more about how destructive evolution is. And it says here, this is a quote from a magazine, the Tomorrow's World magazine, May-June of 1970. It says here, if the devil could get a society and make it the way he wanted it, what would it be like? Do you know there was once a society completely ruled by the devil? He had instituted his thoughts and his morality. This society was completely destroyed from the face of the earth. And the lesson of it should be a perpetual witness to all generations. The society was Sodom and Gomorrah. The final end of any society run by the devil is the complete destruction of fatherhood. The devil himself cannot reproduce. Angels cannot reproduce nor marry. But God can reproduce himself. God is in the process of reproducing himself in us, his begotten children. Well, there you have it. That is why it is so important to totally reject evolution, reject this society's conspiracy against fatherhood. Physical family points to the God family that one day we will all have an opportunity to be a part of. If you can destroy the physical family by first destroying the father's role in that family, then you can completely destroy the God family vision. People won't be able to picture what the God family is like if physical families are broken. The last subtitle in this booklet, page 12, it says here, it's war. It points out how Jesus Christ was actually killed because he had a message about family. He declared his father, and yet he was killed for that message. That's because Satan is in charge of the world right now. That's why the attack against fatherhood is so strong, so unavoidable almost. Satan hates God the Father and his son, Jesus Christ. It says here on page 12, the devil hates the God family and is conspiring to destroy you physically and spiritually. That's what we're up against. It's an all-out attack, and we have to have it solidly proven in our minds that this conspiracy against fatherhood is evil and wrong. We have to understand the importance of family. So that is just a quick summary of the Conspiracy Against Fatherhood booklet. You can find this at thetrumpet.com. And next week, we will cover Mr. Armstrong's booklet, Why Marriage Soon Obsolete. And I just wanted to also alert you to the fact that I'll be on the radio again on Monday with a new show titled Behind the Work. So that'll be at 11:30 every Monday, 11:30 in the morning, right before the replay of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Until then, and until next Friday on Trumpet Bookshelf, I'm Grant Turgeon, and it's been great speaking with you.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments@kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.